This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We will welcome in Wisconsin Public Radio State Government Reporter Sean Johnson for the first half of our State Capitol Report. Sean will bring us up to date on what's been happening at the State Capitol last week and what will happen this week in state government news. And after 7:30, we will be welcoming in Chris Taylor, a Democratic state representative from Madison and a member of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. We will talk budget issues with Representative Taylor, and we'll also ask Representative Taylor about the changes that she would like to see to the new law that that she authored that requires an independent investigation of police officer-involved shooting deaths. And we will welcome your questions for both of our guests at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We start with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Well, I know that we'll be talking about a lot of issues during this segment of the State Capitol Report, but tell us about the protests that happened at the State Capitol last week over the Madison police officer involved shooting death of 19-year-old Tony Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to cover this, and you have covered this in several other forums more in depth, but I mean, it's just briefly, this is something that has kind of intersected with state government here in that last week you had very suddenly the Capitol filled up with about 1,500 protesters, many or most of them students who had walked out of school. And it was as loud as it had been easily since the 2011 protests. Give it a quick listen here. So those protesters left the Capitol pretty quickly, actually moved on down State Street, then back over to the MLK between the city county building and the municipal building, where they all sat down right in the middle of the road. Paul Soglin, the mayor of Madison, came out and talked to him. I mean, it was quite a sight. So this is something that, you know, I think on Monday they're sort of just searching for an outlet there. At you heard at the toward the end of the week, the State Department of Justice say that they are conducting an investigation into this officer-involved shooting. This is a bill that we covered last session. It's now law. You're going to talk to Representative Chris Taylor about it in the next half hour. But Attorney General Brad Schimmel says that his investigation of this shooting is going to probably be done in about 2 weeks, and he wasn't going to release it piecemeal.
Releasing information piecemeal, as I think we've seen with some of these officer-involved death cases nationwide, has caused a great deal of turmoil. It has done a disservice to the search for the truth. So we are resolved to not do that. We're going to release the information when the investigation is done.
So a couple of weeks at least before DOJ would send a completed report on the investigation to the Dane County District Attorney?
Yeah, and then it's going to be up to the DA to decide what to publicize. And essentially, the DOJ is just on a fact-finding mission here. It'll be up to the Dane County DA to kind of make pronouncement over whether anything was done wrong. Another state government angle here that's, you know, maybe still be developing is whether or not people use Tony Robinson's death as, I think they kind of did last week, as a way to talk about bigger social issues and how those intersect with the budget. I mean, you saw there was a large protest that developed outside of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections on another day last week. You also saw advocates for the minimum, raising the minimum wage, direct some of those protesters over into a fast food joint and kind of trying to extend that, you know, to other causes. So we'll see what that means for the budget and whether they have a presence you know, especially coming up at some public hearings on the budget.
Well, in fact, we will certainly continue to follow the related issues, and we will continue following budget issues. The Joint Finance Committee is going to be holding hearings this week.
Their first two are this week, Wednesday in Brilliant, up in the Fox Valley, and then Friday in Milwaukee. And you know, typically these things are, you know, they're public hearings, but everybody's on the clock, and you usually have about 2 minutes to get up there, make your point, and then next, move on to the next person. It goes pretty quick unless lawmakers have questions for those speaking. But you do get to hear quite a variety of voices.
There will be four total? That's what they were predicting anyway.
Four total, yes.
All right. Well, we'll continue to follow those as well. Also, this past week, Governor Walker signed the Right to Work bill into law, and he did it not at the state capitol, but at a private business.
He did. He signed it at a business. It said that they were going to leave if they didn't have a Right to Work law. He didn't take any questions from reporters afterward. It was interesting that day, the president, President Obama, issued a statement, which is a little unusual, said, quote, "I'm deeply disappointed that a new anti-worker law in Wisconsin will weaken rather than strengthen workers in the new economy. Wisconsin is a state built by labor with a proud pro-worker past." So pretty unusual to see that from a president to reach out and criticize actions of a governor there. I mean, it could speak to the gravity of the issue. It is a big deal. And maybe it didn't feel like it as quickly as it moved through. But for Wisconsin, definitely a state with labor history, to now be the 25th right-to-work state is a big deal. Also, obviously, Governor Walker's becoming more and more of a national figure. And so his actions are under more scrutiny.
And the AFL-CIO says it's going to file a lawsuit over this.
Yeah, they've sued, and there's going to be a hearing this Thursday in Dane County. You know, whether or not that lawsuit is going to be viable long term, it seems doubtful, just because this law is basically a copy of the laws that were recently enacted in Indiana and Michigan. And those laws, ultimately, as they got to higher courts, were upheld.
Yeah, talk a little bit about job numbers for Wisconsin. Are we going to see some more coming out?
You'll see some more. You got some job numbers coming on Thursday, and these are the quote gold standard job numbers that they're the most detailed. They're the most accurate. But they'll only take us through the third quarter of 2014. But you know, once you have these, you're getting almost the entire picture of job growth under Governor Walker's first term in office. You know, it's not a number that people are talking about too much these days. But he is running for president here, and so once that number gets finalized, it might be something that his opponents decide to take up. Maybe not, though.
Well, speaking of Governor Walker running for president, we'll get started before our first news break and probably come back after the news with more on this. But a poll came out from the public policy polling, and it showed Governor Walker's numbers kind of on the decline a little bit, and he wasn't doing too well against potential Democratic presidential challengers.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of polling lately of how the governor's doing among likely Republican voters in some of these early presidential states, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, among others. And in those polls, he's doing pretty well. I mean, I think you look at him as the front runner at this point. Seeking the GOP nomination for president. This is the first poll we've seen in a while that looks at how he's doing in Wisconsin. It's by PPP, which is a firm that works for Democrats, but they release a lot of these public polls, and they have a pretty good track record on the results. Right before the election, PPP found that he had a 49% approval rating, 47% disapprove. That's now down to 43% approval rating, 52% disapprove. And that's largely due in part to a large decline with independent voters. Before the election, they liked him, 48% of them approved of the job the governor's doing. That's now down to 36% of independents who approve of the job the governor's doing. And PPP also found that the governor trails Hillary Clinton in a hypothetical contest, 52 to 43. Last time they tested that back in September of 2013, it was a lot closer. It was more 49 to 44. Also found that he would trail, in hypothetical matchups against Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren in Wisconsin. So, you know, the relevance of those type of matchups at this early stage, questionable, but interesting to see, especially the numbers with independents.
We are talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. This is our state capitol report. We'll talk about John Doe and school accountability coming up. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine, talking now with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, talking about what happened at the State Capitol last week and getting a preview of what's to come. And we welcome any questions you might have at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So what do you make of Governor Walker's falling poll numbers in Wisconsin? You can let us know about that or any issue of involving state politics. Let's talk a little bit about President, why do I say that all the time, Sean? It's Governor Walker's run for president, and he is getting a whole lot of national attention in the past week.
He is, and I think by and large, he's got to like where he's at. I mean, it's going pretty well for him on the presidential campaign. Conservative media loves him. There is, though, this storyline that's developing around the governor, maybe more among Wisconsin press, but you're starting to see that in the national press, too, where he's having to defend this idea that he is a flip-flopper. And it's come from his changing positions on a few issues recently. Right to work, abortion, immigration, ethanol. It's not necessarily that his views on the issues changed, but what he's saying about it definitely changed from his campaign for governor in a purple state where he needs those independent voters, as he now moves to a national Republican primary where he's moving, you know, his stances are moving to the right. His rhetoric has definitely changed. I mean, right to work, he said, not going to happen. I have no interest in a right-to-work law in Wisconsin in this session or any other session. Now he's out championing right-to-work. Again, he was, years ago, a sponsor of right-to-work, and he'll point to that and say, look, my position hasn't changed, but what he said about right-to-work absolutely changed in different circumstances. Abortion, he was pressed, really given every opportunity to say that whether he would support a ban on abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy during his gubernatorial race, took a pass, completely deflected on that issue, ran an ad that kind of used some of the verbiage that you would see in a pro-choice ad. And now, as he's running for president, he's saying, I support a ban on abortion after 20 weeks. In immigration, that's an issue where he actually says, yes, I changed my position. He voiced support for some type of amnesty a couple of years ago while he was a Wisconsin candidate. Now at the national level, he's saying, I oppose that. And then on ethanol, he's been an opponent of ethanol mandates here in Wisconsin. Speaking in Iowa a couple of weeks ago, he said, I support a renewable energy portfolio that supports ethanol. So
yeah,
the issues are piling up. And so you're seeing national press now talk about him as, is he a flip-flopper? Is he like Mitt Romney? And so that's something that he's kind of fighting off here, or trying to fight off, as he goes to places like New Hampshire, where he was over the weekend.
You know, we will be talking with Craig Robinson, who is an Iowa Republican who has a newsletter called The Iowa Republican, and he is examining what he believes are Governor Walker's evolving positions on those issues. So we'll be talking to him on Thursday at from our 7 to 8 o'clock hour. Let's move on, though, to there's a bill that's going to change that wants to change the way John Doe investigations are held in Wisconsin.
Yeah, this is a bill that Republicans are calling a John Doe reform bill. In a public hearing last week, they didn't mention him by name, but they attacked the current Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm for what they believe is a politically motivated John Doe investigation involving the governor and conservative campaigns, and what they've said is an abuse of the John Doe, which allows for these, they're supposed to be secret, but they're essentially semi-secret investigations that where evidence is presented to a judge and it gives you some investigative powers as a prosecutor. Prosecutors like this law. So at this public hearing, this bill, which would put a 6-month time limit on John Doe's, would give prosecutors a chance to extend that, but it wouldn't be easy, and would remove some of the crimes that could be investigated by John Doe's. Republicans supported this plan. Also supporting it at this public hearing was Madison attorney Dean Stang. Dean Stang told members of this legislative committee, look, I have a horse in this, and the current John Doe, he's representing somebody in the current John Doe involving Governor Scott Walker's campaign and conservative groups. Here's what he had to say about why he thinks the current John Doe laws are, give prosecutors too much power.
The people and organizations who may be subjects of that investigation are relatively lucky citizens. They're educated. They have some access to power, some of them. They have some money and resources, I think it's fair to say. But they've lived under this for 2.5 years now without charges. And if that can happen, irrespective of good faith, if that can happen to people who are relatively well situated in the state, imagine what it can happen to the people I represented as the federal defender. I represent when I represent people who are indigent or just ordinary citizens.
Yeah, but then there are some prosecutors who don't want this John Doe probe reform bill.
Yeah, former Milwaukee County District Attorney E. Michael McCann came in, and he said, everybody's talking about the governor's John Doe right now, but he said, look, I was involved in some pretty high-profile John Does as a prosecutor in Milwaukee County as part of what was then known as the Legislative Caucus Scandal, which was the biggest scandal to hit Wisconsin government in many, many years. And McCann actually handled the prosecution of then Democratic Senate Majority Leader Chuck Kwala. He said, why don't you call this bill what it really is? What it really does is it removes a bunch of crimes from the John Doe law, and it makes it impossible for prosecutors to investigate these crimes. And then he rattled them off.
The key public crimes the bill removes from investigation by a John Doe are bribery of public officers and employees, misconduct in public office, private interest in public contract prohibited, corrupt means to influence legislation, disclosure of interest, perjury, false swearing, bribery of witness, tampering with public record, standards of conduct for state and local officials. All violations of campaign finance laws cannot be reviewed by a John Doe. Prohibited election practices. No John Doe can examine prohibited election practices. Senate Bill 43 removes from the reach of the John Doe all the statutes under which Senator Majority Kwala and Assembly Speaker Jensen were charged in the caucus John Doe.
So Republicans said, look, we're not decriminalizing these things. Prosecutors can still go after them. They just have to use different tools. But McCann is saying this is the tool that we use. This is how we got them in the caucus scandal, and you're taking that away.
Sean, we have just a minute to go here. I know I saw lots of headlines about the assembly taking up the school accountability issue again, and but then backing off. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, we could get into the back and forth here, but I think the bottom line is this is one issue where Republicans have said it's a top priority for them, and yet here we are still, and they can't agree. The Senate and the Assembly can't agree on this bill, and they made some noise last week. Looked like there was going to be some legislative maneuvering to try to force the Senate's hand. Backed off. It would appear that the Assembly committee that's dealing with this may not have the votes it needs to pass a bill. So,
The bone of contention is the Assembly wants to punish the public schools that are failing, and the Senate does not.
Right, sanctions. Yeah. It's about sanctions, punishments for persistently low performing schools. Some lawmakers say we got to do this or it doesn't mean anything. Others say you can't do it. It's unconstitutional and you can't treat different schools differently, voucher schools and public schools.
And we talked about some of the issues coming up this week, but what else is happening this week?
Well, you've got the Assembly coming in tomorrow to pass a bill that would let Wisconsin's speed limit go up to 70 miles per hour rural interstates. Yeah, so we'd be joining neighboring states on that. This is something that didn't go anywhere last year in the legislature. It sounds like it, it sounds like it has more momentum. Boy, there's so many puns you have to avoid when you're talking about this issue. It sounds like it has a decent chance of passing this year, but we don't know what's going to happen. Oh.
Sorry.
There's so many out there, right? It could become law, potentially.
All right. Nothing to joke about. We will we'll listen for your reports on that. Sean, thanks very much for being here.
All right. Thank you.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Government Reporter. I'm Joy Cardine.